You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some.
Beware, I live. IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Anthony Gallegos.
Hello.
Andrew Goldfarb is here.
Follow SF Soup Co. on Twitter.
And Justin Davis is
here.
Hey,
guys.
You got them to break, didn't you, Andrew?
Yeah,
they
sent me a $50 gift card for free soup. Soup's on me next week, boys.
They sent it to you, or you like?
It's on its way. Yeah, it hasn't arrived yet.
Interesting.
They allegedly
they're just down the street. They don't have to mail anything to you. You know?
Well, it's like their corporate office is somewhere else.
I had a dream last night. As a matter of fact, this is no joke. You just reminded me of it. That Andrew got asked to start to move back to New York City and start New York Soup Co.
Oh my gosh!
And be
really?
The person in charge of New York Soup Co.
That's wow. The dream. That would be amazing.
So. That's way better than my dreams. Are usually just like my teeth falling out and stuff. Like.
I have those dreams too, yeah. But this one specifically, Andrew's like, I'm leaving IGN to start New York Soup Company.
It's my calling. And you know, if your teeth fell out, you could still have soup. That would work out really
well. Oh, God damn it.
There you go.
Okay, I'm going to put something out there.
Okay.
In the past, I think, Sony has occasionally tried to copy the success of Nintendo, let's say with the PlayStation Move. But I think this is the year that they just go balls out. That it's like, fuck it.
Yeah.
We want to do what Nintendo does.
It's true.
They want to be able to have franchises that they can drop in every console generation. Everyone's like, I'm buying a PlayStation because I want to play the next Little Big Planet.
And they want to lose only $300 million instead of, like, what did they lose? Like $1 billion last quarter?
Was it that much? Well, I mean, Nintendo operated a $500 million loss.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they don't want to lose $1 billion anymore. They only want to lose half that much. Let's be like Nintendo.
The funny thing with Sony, too, is that, like, you know, they've never found, like, their Mario. And the interesting thing is that, like, at this point, they have these, like, I was talking to a PR guy from Sony about this. Like, they don't, you know, their Kratos and their Nathan Drake are, like, mature characters, and so they're not marketing to everybody, you know? And so it's like they have Sackboy, but I don't think he's really caught on to that degree yet, where Sony has, like, this family-friendly image, you know?
So first of all, we speak, of course, about PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, right? Which is Sony's blatant clone of Smash Brothers.
Yeah, and so there's factions around the office, by the way. Some are really pushing Brawl Stars as the
I like
short
that. End. I actually like that.
I like Sony Smash Brothers.
Brawl Stars works so much better.
Yeah.
Okay. The brand Sony doesn't need to be in there. It's not called Nintendo Super Smash Brothers. It's called Super Smash Brothers.
Okay. Well, and it's also, like Colin pointed out, that PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale sounds like the sequel to PlayStation All-Stars. Like, it should have just been called PlayStation All-Stars.
Yeah, I don't understand I agree.
Now, you checked it out. Were you able to play it?
Yeah, yeah. We played it for a long time, actually. We played all the stages and tried out all the characters and stuff.
So let's get this out there. You guys liked it a lot.
Yeah, it's unbelievably fun. I mean, that is my quote on the site. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Kind of a blast.
I mean, to me, it would have been more surprising if it wasn't fun. Right?
Yeah, kind of a blast and unbelievably fun.
To me, I mean, that doesn't sound like a surefire hit. Hey, let's copy Super Smash Brothers with a bunch of less cool characters.
If you're going to take Super Smash Brothers, though, and offer me a Super Smash Brothers game with different characters with different powers I can now learn on different stages, it's basically giving people more Smash Brothers. It may be different characters that you don't care about as much as Nintendo characters, but, like, honestly, I don't give a shit about half the characters in Super Smash Brothers either, but I like to see them because they have different abilities, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah, for sure. It's like the ice climbers. Yeah, they're badass in the game, but like, who's like, yes, those, that's what I was waiting for.
I'm one of the guys that like, yes, the ice climbers are in the
game.
Like that's awesome.
Or like Mewtwo, or like, you know, there's just a lot of things in it. I'm like, I don't care about that. But again, seeing them is cool. Like,
yeah.
That's what's so cool, though, about, like, I agree, like, some people aren't going to care about some of these characters, but, like, someone like Parappa,
Parappa's pretty awesome.
Yeah, like, he hasn't been in the game in so long that it's, like, it's cool seeing a character like that. But at the same time, like, how many kids are buying that game right now who have never seen that
character? Well, there's that, too. Yeah, then, like, other characters are just like, that guy from Killzone.
The reason Nintendo has such a distinct advantage over Sony with their mascots is because the generation now that is most likely to buy video games and now has money to do that were children when Nintendo created that character. And that's not the truth. Like, maybe in 20 years, like,
there'll be like, it's just like parents introducing Star Wars to their kids. Like, parents are like, no, Zelda's the shit. Like, you gotta get
I played
this.
Mario, and now you can too.
Yeah. So I hope Sony digs as deep as Nintendo does, like, into their lore and into their, like, I want Chop Chop Master Onion. That's what I want.
Okay, yeah. I mean, so that's one of the cool things about Smash Brothers is that there are so many characters, right?
Yeah.
Even if they're not playable, like the items and the stages and the weird Pokeballs and just all the crazy stuff.
They even rip that off. Like, what's cool about this game is, like, in Smash Brothers, you'll fight in, like, Hyrule Castle or whatever, and you're like, oh, you know, this came from Zelda. In Battle Royale, they mix two franchises. So, like, the stage you're fighting on, you're in Hades from God of War, but suddenly a Patapon comes in, and then suddenly 100 Patapon come in, and Hades, instead of mashing on the stage, is suddenly just like, fuck you, Patapon, and he's, like, pushing them out of the way, and, like, music starts playing. Like, it's really cool, because rather than just having, you know, Kratos beat the shit out of Parappa, you also have, like, a combination in the background and in the stages.
It also seems like the Sony All-Stars game, at least from the trailer, you know, like in Smash Brothers, you have like the F-Zero level, and in that level, the level will try and kill you.
Yeah.
But it seems like every level in the Sony game tries to kill you in some way.
There's environmental danger.
Either it's killing you or it's helping you. Like sometimes, like in Hot Shots Golf, like items or golf balls.
That looks really cool.
And they turn into AP, and you can collect that AP to get a faster super and stuff.
So one of the things that I don't understand, or maybe don't like about this game, based on what I've seen so far, I haven't played it, is I really, really like that Smash Brothers is ringouts instead of just a health bar, and it seems like this game's not like that.
Yeah,
right?
How exactly does health work in it? Because I don't think...
See, that's the really interesting thing. Like, I think they were still working on the HUD and, like, what the display will be, because that bar that you see at
Heads
the bottom isn't
display.
A health bar. It's a... Yeah, thank you.
It's not the health bar. It's your special
super,
bar.
Exactly.
Okay, so what's the health bar?
Exactly. Like, you don't have one on screen, necessarily, and that's what's interesting to me. Like, I don't know... It wasn't really clear to me if they're going to be adding in some kind of like percentage or health.
I mean,
or
how else do you tell?
Blinking red.
How else do you tell how damaged you are? You don't.
Because that's the thing. You're not really accumulating damage. It's more that like you're when you get your super attacks, you just like knock someone completely off the screen. They have to respawn, and that gives you 1 point, kind of thing. Like you're not really necessarily like building up damage so much as building up your AP so that you can perform a super that will wipe someone off the screen.
So you're not losing points, you're gaining points. But if you die,
you also lose a point. So you can end the match with like -2 points or whatever.
So the only way to wipe someone out is with the super.
No, I mean, I think you can also.
We're not sure.
I mean, it's really weird because while we were playing it, it's so frantic and so crazy that like that was my question afterwards. It's like okay, I just killed Colin with Fat Princess, but like. Why, you know, like what does that mean for like what we're gonna see from like more characters and more worlds and stuff?
Just copy that from Smash Brothers 2. Put a big old percentage.
Exactly. Yeah, percentage would make it easier, or just a very visible health bar would make it easier too.
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, when I heard about this, I was very sort of skeptical, and I'm like, oh, you know, Sony doesn't have the brands and the licenses with sort of the cultural, you know, they're just not as important to me. But then once I started seeing it, I'm like, yeah, I'm totally on board. Like, Patapon's awesome. Hot Shots Golf seems like the most generic thing in the world, but, like, I love Hot Shots Golf, and I like the music, and I like all the rest of it.
And so. It was cool, too, like, Buzz, like, on the Little Big Planet level, these platforms appear, and then Buzz comes in, and he asks you a question.
Yeah,
and
that's awesome.
There's four answers, and they're on separate platforms, and you have to get to the platform with the right answer, and so everyone's huddled up on it, but you're fighting each other, and you can push somebody off. Yeah. And if when time runs out, if they're not on that platform, like, they'll get hurt.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
That's really creative stuff.
These all sound good.
I'm very pleasantly surprised with the game.
Yeah, so it looks really cool. So how do you like? It just seems like the Wii. It's nice and easy to have four Wiimotes all on and synced up. The PlayStation doesn't seem to be like. Is this? Do we know that this is going to be a retail release and it's going to come out?
Definitely retail. And it's definitely in 2012. And you're just using the DualShock. Like, I don't think it has move support or anything crazy like that.
Who has four DualShocks?
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
Okay. But I mean, it's online also.
It's not like
you don't have to play it couch co-op. You can.
Should they not make a four-player game?
Because they should.
Yeah,
I think this game looks really cool, but I bet you it doesn't sell a million copies.
I mean, I
think it could sell really well.
DualShocks are expensive, especially because they don't have batteries, and once the charge is gone, you have to throw them away.
Yeah,
that's true.
Do you remember this? The tech reporter who wrote that several years ago, that she didn't understand that you could recharge the controller.
No, but that's hilarious.
That really happened. It's very expensive.
$40 and then you just pitch it.
So you've seen six characters so far.
Yes, it was Parappa, Kratos, Colonel Raddick, Fat Princess, who am I forgetting? Sly Cooper, and Sweet Tooth.
What a weird choice from Killzone franchise.
Yeah.
A guy that's only in one of the games.
Yeah.
We've got footage up on the site now. Yep. And we've got a great video with you and Colin talking about the game with footage. But unfortunately, the footage that Sony gave us, I don't think there's any Parappa in there.
Yep.
In that B-roll, which is too bad.
Because
I love Parappa.
I think there is. I think we have some more. I think there's gameplay clips from each level that we're putting up recording this podcast.
It's all in the mind.
It's true.
Yeah.
Does he say what he's doing when he does
Jeremy Lammy in there?
That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. When you choose him, he just goes, "You gotta believe," and he has all his little catchphrases. And like one of his moves is that he holds up a boombox and stuff.
I mean, it's obvious, even though they are only showing these six characters. Like, obviously, we're gonna see Jack and Daxter.
Of course.
We don't know that. I mean, we don't have that.
You have to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you're gonna see Sackboy. You're gonna see Nathan Drake. Like, how could they not put those?
Ratchet and Clank.
I'm sure they've got a big reveal planned for Nathan Drake later on this year, leading up closer to launch.
Yeah, and they also confirmed third-party characters. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's really interesting thinking about who that could be, too.
So, Snake is in Smash Brothers.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Metal Gear Solid, you know, came up on PlayStation. You have to imagine, is he not going to be in there?
Yeah, that'd be very weird.
Yep.
That's actually really cool. I like, there was a couple third-party characters in Smash Brothers, but it was still like a Mario thing. Like, if we could have a proper, like, cross-universe video game franchise that just had all different characters from all these different franchises, like...
You're going to see an Assassin's Creed guy in there, and you're probably going to see, Lightning from Final Fantasy.
So that's when it starts to get super interesting.
Yeah,
right.
I agree. Yeah, that could be really, really cool.
I want Cloud.
Yeah, that would be nice.
That would be awesome. That would be so great. Yeah, just talking about it, I'm getting more and more excited.
Exactly, and that was the thing. Like, it's a cliche, but it's like a love letter to PlayStation fans. Like, and that's really cool because it's clearly a ripoff of Smash Brothers. But you know, it's not like they were ever going to put Sony characters in Smash Brothers. Like, how else could Sony players have that experience?
And we, you know, I think Super Smash Brothers is still the most played game at the IGN office. Almost every single night, there's a sort of core group of guys that always get together and play some Smash.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Now it's going to be like they play it at Charles's desk, which is, you know, right across from Greg's desk. So now it'll be cool if we have two tournaments going on at once.
It's nice to get that type of game in HD, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Even though they play it every day, every time I walk by it, it's kind of like, ugh.
Yeah. It was so cool. Like, sitting down with four people playing this reminded me of sitting down with four people playing Smash Brothers in the dorms, like my freshman year. Like, this just was awesome.
Take you back to your youth.
Yeah.
Yep. So, PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, really bad title, by the way.
Yeah, title fight was so much better.
That's not the only Nintendo-ish thing that Sony has planned for this year. They also have a kart racer, right?
Little Big Planet karting a while back, and it's like we haven't seen much of it, but like, yeah, I mean that could just, you know, you expect, because it's from United Front, it'll probably be more like Mod Nation than Mario Kart, but that is a good point that's like
the same team that made Mod Nation.
Yeah, it's United Front. Yeah,
I'm on board.
Yeah, this fall, right?
I think they said 2012. Yeah.
big, you know, holiday release.
This is kind of random, but speaking of Sony carters, Crash Nitro Kart on the PS1 is probably better than Mario Kart. It's probably my favorite karting game I've ever played.
You're not the only person I've ever heard say that.
Really?
Yeah.
Good. Oh, man. I thought I was really going out on a limb. And you guys were going to be like...
I never played it.
Crash Nitro Kart was... It might be one of the last games I ever, like, 100%ed. Like, I did every single thing that there was to do in that game. All the time trials, all the bonus stuff.
I never liked the character Crash Bandicoot.
No, me neither. He's not really a character. He's just kind of dumb. He's like...
He was Sony's mascot for a long time. He was in all the commercials.
It was a really blatantly 90s obvious attempt to, like, be edgier than Mario. Like, it was... It just seemed
it was Sonic the Hedgehog.
It was designed by a marketing committee.
It's so weird that, like, Crash and Spyro were, like, such PlayStation characters, and now they're just, like...
Oh, Spyro's got to be in All-Stars Battle Royale.
Yeah, Spyro's back now, though. He's bigger than ever.
But he's not, because he's not
bigger than ever.
So here's the thing, Skylanders he's barely in.
But and it's then Skylanders, they took his name out of Spyro.
Yeah, exactly. Like the sequel doesn't have Spyro in it. Like
still counts, man.
I don't know.
Put it in the win category. Yeah,
it's like Hulk in the Avengers.
So you'd say Hulk is bigger than ever now?
Yeah,
when he had his own movies.
I've heard the Avengers described as the best Hulk movie yet.
Well, that's because the others weren't that great. But
we're seeing. Yeah,
I was gonna say
Thursday.
It's aiming very, very low.
I'm excited for the Avengers.
So am I.
Yeah, hearing good things. Wait, you realize it's out internationally?
Yeah.
Already?
Oh, but it's not in the U.S.?
No.
And that's weird.
And Battleship has been out for weeks internationally.
What's up with that?
I'm just saying, like...
So they saw Captain America before we did?
Yeah.
That's dumb. Unacceptable.
I think that speaks to how important international markets have become for movies.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Right?
I mean, even, you know, like, something like... Like, big blockbuster movies, they make so much money overseas.
And they... Well, those already audiences... U.S. audiences are getting a little bit more sophisticated when it comes to going to the movies. Like, movies like Prince of Persia, you know, it's not guaranteed that those movies are going to make crazy money anymore.
Or
not that great.
Look at John Carter.
Right, like John Carter. But here's the thing. Like, those movies still make crazy dough internationally that they might not make in the U.S. anymore. So movies like John Carter and Prince of Persia is the one that really jumps out to me, where it was sort of meh.
Or
in
like
the,
latest Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, yeah. Like those movies.
Could you find anybody you know who would say they enjoyed that movie? And yet, what a phenomenal, you know, financial success it was.
Yeah, same thing with Avatar. Like, it was still making money. Like, even when it was out of theaters in the U.S., you would hear, like, oh, it made, like, another, you know, $20 million this weekend in China or whatever.
It, like, just opened in, like, Indonesia. Like, exactly. Like, it just,
I think that's crazy. Battleship and Avengers are open.
That makes me kind of
elsewhere.
That makes me upset.
Yeah. Well, it's also like
we can't go see it.
Those two movies in particular are funny because they're like the opposite ends of the spectrum. Like Avengers is getting these amazing reviews and Battleship is like slowly tanking.
Right, but they are sort of like gung ho patriotic American movies.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
It's true.
So I don't know.
I'm flying to Brazil to see Avengers this weekend. Most expensive movie ticket ever.
Avengers got 4 out of 5 from IGN. 4.5 out of 5.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Hi, listeners.
Thank you. Mike Brody is one of IGN Superfan. He does a lot of artwork for Nintendo folks. He's
Panda?
Like,
is that that guy?
No,
that's not Panda Musk.
Different guy.
This is Mike
another
Panda
guy.
Musk.
Yeah. He does a lot of like artwork specifically for the Nintendo guys.
Got it.
But finally, he finally
got smart.
He finally did some stuff for me, which I really appreciate here. I like his rendition of me with Jackie Brown here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this
that's
is
amazing.
He's a... I think he goes by Michael Robot on the...
Yes, he does. Yep, I think it's Michael Robot 13.
Yeah, that's his my IGN user.
Yeah, if only Jackie Brown was big enough, you could ride her like a giant fucking panther cat
and let her
come to the office every day on Jackie Brown.
And be like a DJ duo with her. Yeah, that'd be pretty great.
Can you get permission to use this as an album cover?
Maybe. I don't know.
That's really cool.
Or at least a flyer cover for your next DJ
show. Yeah. That'd be really cool. Very nice work, Michael Robot. This is Joe.
Hey, Joe.
He says, hello, everyone. I'm 15. I'm from the UK. A few podcasts back, you mentioned a teenager wanted to learn about gaming culture. As I am a massive gamer, I felt compelled to do so as well. But I've started a YouTube channel, and I was wondering what to do on this channel. As I was scrolling through the IGN lists of all things gaming-related, I found the 100 top 10 games of all time. What do you think the 100 top 10 games of all time are? So I decided to make a top 100 guide on my channel, with 10-minute videos for each game, therefore getting my channel off to a start, but still learning about gaming culture. Here's my question, though. Some of the older games are on consoles I do not own. Would it be wrong to download these games on some sort of emulator? After I'm done with the game, I would delete and all the newer games I own anyway. Would this still be wrong and pirating?
If there's no way to buy them in a way that you can support the developer, I do not have as big of a problem with that myself.
I say yes. I agree. I say yes, it's still wrong, and it's piracy.
Yeah. Interesting. So... Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand. So, take the YouTube channel out of it.
Okay.
Forget what he's using it for, because that's irrelevant. What's relevant is that he's pirating games. Like...
So, if he wants to play an NES game that isn't available on the Virtual Console... He should just not play it?
Yeah, well, I mean, is it illegal? Yes, absolutely. Is it morally wrong? Like, that's different.
Well, that's what I was going off of. Not is it legal. It's, of course, it's not legal. And technically, I would never tell you to do anything illegal, but I guess that's what I just did. I'm just saying that if it was me, like, I don't have any problem with playing ROMs when I know I can't support that developer outright
anymore.
Because that's
the alternative is buying it on eBay, and it's not like the developer gets money from that.
Like, no. Yeah.
I mean, I've done stuff like that, too. I before I came to IGN, then I got too busy and stopped, but I was blogging my way through all the Final Fantasy games chronologically. Mm-hmm. But the only way – so Final Fantasy 2 and 3 have been translated into English – but not the NES versions, only the remade versions. But there's fans that took Final Fantasy 2 and 3 on the NES, mm-hmm. and then translated them into English, and it's the NES version. And so I had no choice but to do those, which is technically illegal. And then that makes me sound very similar to Joe, where it's like I'm just kind of justifying my not giving Square Enix money. But, you know, y'all kind of do what you got
to
do.
I don't know. I tend to think emulators are a wonderful, very positive thing that allow us to celebrate and enjoy, you know, games long after they're not available anymore. Mm-hmm. Specifically, like with MAME and arcade games, like they're just thousands of arcade games that they're just gone. They're like lost.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of MAME for that reason. Yeah. So I guess I'm being a little contradictory here, aren't I?
Yes.
But the issue with those arcade games is there's literally no way to play them. Like you can't. Well, they're gone. Whereas a game on the NES, like you could. It just depends on how much.
Right.
Like, what you're saying is the barrier is too high, so then emulation becomes okay.
Or it has nothing to do with the barriers to me as much as is there a way to do it where you're supporting the company that made it mm-hmm. and not just putting Pocket in the hands of some private citizen? Like, to me, then it doesn't really matter. Like
if he's populating his list with things that are available in the Virtual Console, he should be buying them on the Virtual Console. It's like,
I agree with that.
It more comes up if it's stuff like really obscure things.
But it's a more obscure game. You buy an NES, you hunt down this obscure game on eBay. There's no guarantee that game's even going to play and work. You know?
And I think. I said it didn't matter what you were using it for, but it does matter what you're using it for, because if he's trying to do it for work, if he's trying to do it on YouTube, he can't, you know, if he's going to download Metroid on the Virtual Console, like it's hard for him to get that footage off his Wii. Like if he's trying to start up a YouTube channel, it's nice and easy for him to record when he's playing on an emulator and share that with, you know, hopefully building up a base of viewers.
That's true too.
So I don't know. Maybe you guys have convinced me.
Yeah. I mean, I've recently actually, like, I contributed to the Double Fine Kickstarter. And, like, as part of that in their forums, they're like, hey, if you guys want to play Day of the Tentacle, here's a download link, mm-hmm. and here's an emulator that will play it. Like, you know, they're just, like, cool with it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that game's not sold on any services.
There's no way
right
to
now.
Get
yeah,
them anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
And if you want to be right with yourself, you know, if a game is available on the Virtual Console, you could always buy it and then just use an emulator to capture your footage for your channel.
But you still gave monies.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I guess I take it back a little bit.
Apology accepted.
What you guys are saying makes a lot of sense, and I think the people that tend to emulate games and maybe pirate some stuff and check out some older stuff, those are the people that are super into it and spending more of their dough on video games anyway.
You have my blessing, Joe. This is Nadir. Says, I wanted to tell you about some open world games. Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted you to tell me about some open world games. I love The Elder Scrolls and the Fallout series, and I'm really looking forward to trying Far Cry 3, but I could use some more. Even though they can't ever be completely beaten, I would appreciate it if you could tell on a few of them.
We'll tell on some.
Sounds like he likes first-person open world games.
Yeah.
What's that?
Like all the open world games he described are like first-person RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
The underappreciated open world game of this generation, I think, is Just Cause 2.
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I agree.
I didn't play it.
You could have just played that one game will keep you busy for a year. There's so much to do in that game, and it's so fun.
Yeah. That game says, everyone's like, I just like to fire up this game and dick around. I don't even really complete any missions. But the only game I truly feel that way in is Just Cause 2. Like, hopping a jet and like...
I've never beaten Just Cause 2, but I still spent hours just... doing whatever I wanted.
I probably put... I don't know. I've put dozens of hours into that game. I did not get very far in the story. I was just running around doing side quests and blowing stuff up.
There's like a giant sky plane in the air that you can go and board.
Yeah.
Yep. I would just zip around in a jet. That's all I did.
And let us not forget, one of its primary mechanics is you have that grappling hook that you can zip around the island with.
And combine with a parachute.
Andrew, if you have, you need to play Just Cause 2.
It sounds awesome.
You should check it out from the library and play it this weekend.
I bought it on Steam. It goes on sale for like $5 all the time on Steam. And so that's where I bought it. And then I modded it so that my grappling hook, I have unlimited grappling hook now. You can grapple to anything. and it completely breaks the game. But I'm just playing to have fun anyway. So, yeah.
So that's how I play all open world games. Grand Theft Auto, I would spend hours just driving around. And oh man, Spider-Man 2, man,
that's the ultimate one.
I just swung through New York City for hours at a time and did nothing. I never completed a single mission in that game.
So play that in Saints Row the Third.
Red Dead Redemption was really, really good.
Yeah,
for sure.
If I was gonna play Red Dead though, I'd tell you just to play the Zombie Nightmare.
I didn't like Zombie Nightmare
that much. Really?
I just think Zombie Nightmare is a good focused Red Dead. It's six hours long. It's very well done.
I really, really wanted to like Zombie Nightmare 2. I was super pumped about it beforehand.
It's Undead Nightmare.
Right. I didn't like it that much. I didn't like when they run at you, it breaks. The game's built around cover shooting, right? But these things are melee enemies that chase you, and so what I would end up doing is running in a circle around town shooting zombies. You can't stay in cover and shoot enemies. I feel like the base game felt better.
What was that iOS game that just blatantly ripped it off?
Oh yeah, it was a Game Loft game. I don't remember the name. It was
Cowboy Western shooter.
Yeah,
but it was Supernatural.
It was with zombies and stuff. It was
a Western zombie shooter. Yeah,
it's awesome.
This is Corey Compton. I was just wanting to know your opinion on something. With gaming being heavily done on devices such as iPods, iPhones, tablet computers, are we possibly going to see a huge slowdown in console gaming, perhaps this next generation being the last for a very long time? I only ask because we saw what has happened to PC gaming after consoles became huge. Could we see that same thing happen to consoles with mobile devices becoming huge? So first of all, Corey, I feel like that's a little misleading.
I feel like Corey doesn't realize that PC gaming is probably 5 times bigger than the console market still, if not more.
I think there was maybe for a time a little dip in PC gaming, but probably. I feel like now it's bigger than ever.
Cards and hardware have never been cheap. I can't say I've never been, but they're cheap again. There was a period there where I thought PC gaming was prohibitively expensive. But nowadays you can get my card for $100. You can build a really great computer for $700 that will play most of these games, maybe not in the highest settings. But also, not only are there all those, but Steam and things like that have made it to where there's tens of indie games that come out every week that are just these tiny great experiences that you can't get elsewhere.
Yep.
So I think that answer his question, though, I don't know
But to more of his question,
I don't think handhelds are going to replace console devices, experiences yet.
So, if anything, it's a little bit backwards. I think the rise of PC gaming is what's a bigger threat to consoles than the rise of mobile gaming. If you can get a cheap PC and you can play it, you can hook it up to your television and play it there. And Steam's nice and easy and simple for everybody to use. You don't need to worry about patches and stuff like that. That's the bigger threat to consoles, in my opinion.
There will be 25 games by the end of this year that are going to probably be pretty good, that if you bought a PC for the initial investment, you could play completely for free on your PC.
And that's what's so interesting. It's at what point will consoles just basically be able to do what PCs can do? At what point will they have a nice, I guess it would take broadband internet being strong enough to handle it. But at what point will we just reach that business model that Steam has?
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty much...
We're getting there.
We're on the cusp. Not very far at all. The consoles are becoming more and more PC-like, and the PC gaming experience is becoming more and more console-like. It's becoming simpler and easier, and the console experience, the games are patched on a regular basis now, things that used to be sort of exclusively in the realm of PC gaming. What was the guy's name?
This is Corey Compton.
Corey, we are seeing a slowdown in console games. We track these stats very closely at IGN, and almost every single year there's less total console games coming out than the year before.
It's true.
And I think there's something 50% less now than compared to a few years ago. So
it is towards the end of a dev cycle, though.
Yeah, that's
true. But also dev costs are still very expensive for consoles these days. And there's a reason that a lot of people like Ryan Payton, who left, the 343 and started a company, his first game, he's making it for iPhone and PC, which is why do a lot of developers go that way? Because they can take a small team and make a cool game for much less.
They can own it themselves. They can publish it themselves. There's a lot of barriers to making a game on a console.
Yeah.
What if we had an iPad-like device that was a console?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Hook that up to your TV, but then also take it with you and continue playing that game right there on the tablet.
Game over. Yeah. Right? For everyone else.
Right?
It's called the Vita.
Yeah.
I don't think we're that far away from that. So
right?
I don't know if I've discussed this on GameScoop, but I know I've discussed it quite a bit.
No repeat discussions.
Oh, shit.
Listen to Tech Fetish.
That's true. please do. No, so what a lot of people maybe don't realize about the new iPad is its screen is a higher resolution than 1080p television.
Yeah.
Yep. So when you're seeing more and more games, Sword and Sorcery was just updated. Hey, we're ready for the Retina display. We have a Retina display graphics on our screen now. But what that also means is that they're ready for 1080p television. So all these games, there's dozens of games that support that new high res now.
I'm sure.
Which also means that they have high res assets in order to support 1080p play.
Oh, so, and to support PC. Like that's like right. Sword and Sorcery went for iPad 3, and now it's out on PC because now it can support those higher resolutions.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So. And so, you know, there's dozens of games that support the new iPad, which means that all you need is a way to play them on your computer, and the games are already ready to go. You just need the interface. So, you know, they're 90% of the way there. So it's a little bit of a conspiracy theory, but I absolutely believe that this is like a backdoor to get a bunch of Apple games ready for TV play. That's what I think we're building towards.
I mean, everyone says it, right? Like the biggest threat to all these consoles is Apple, if anyone.
Absolutely, yes.
If they put out a system with a controller,
yeah.
I'd be there day one.
So Apple has $110 billion in cash. That's how much money they have in the bank. That's not like how much the company's worth or anything else. That's actual dollars.
And so put that in perspective, isn't EA worth $5 billion?
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's just like if they were to release a console, they could market it to success too, more than anyone else.
They could buy EA, Activision, Take-Two, Epic. They could buy pretty
they just
much
buy up the whole industry.
Apple is the most valuable company in the entire world.
Wow.
The biggest company in the entire world.
I love the story of Apple, actually.
Yeah. So it's absolutely bonkers. I do think we're going to see Apple gaming on a television soon.
You heard it here first.
Apple just needs really embrace gaming.
Yep.
Even though they've made phenomenally successful gaming devices, they still seem a little antagonistic.
I feel like
towards gaming.
As sad as it is with Steve Jobs like deceased, like I think that could change because he used to talk and he was kind of a blocker.
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah.
Against that, so I think that maybe with
cock-blocking games.
With the new company with CEO and stuff, they could be like, let's do it.
I hear, you know, the people that I talk to in this business, I hear contradictory things. Some say that working with Apple, some game developers, and I can't, they're all off the record conversations, so I can't say who, but you know, some developers say that they really, really like working with Apple, they're great to work with, they understand games, and then others say the exact opposite. So I don't know if they're talking to different people or whether you know, they just don't have firm marching orders
yet.
You
hear the same thing about, you know, people about Xbox Live Arcade. Yeah. Some developers would say, oh, Microsoft's great to work with. And if they have a bad experience, they're like, I'll never work with Microsoft
again. I know
that
the thing I've heard developers about speaking about the iOS market say is that they don't like the fact that the only, like, if your game does not make it into those coveted, like, staff choices and all that on, like, featured, then you can be dead.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so. That's very true.
Yeah, there's so many games coming out every day that it's so easy to get drowned by them.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's why Matt Casamassina is a good man to know.
Yep.
That's
very true.
Let's move on. This is Nick Pratt. He poses the question, is Half-Life 3 the next Duke Nukem Forever? He elaborates. Half-Life 2 Episode 2 came out in 2007 with the Orange Box. It's been roughly 5 years since then. The entirety of the internet is still clamoring for Half-Life 3. At what point does this go too far and it becomes more like Duke Nukem Forever? I love Valve's games as much as anyone, but what is the point of no return? When has a game been in development for too long?
Well, the thing is that we don't even know that Half-Life Episode 3 is in development, first of all. Yeah. Like, everyone's seen how Valve runs its structure, where they kind of pick the projects they want. More importantly, the difference between Valve and 3D Realms is that Valve is flush with cash. They're a very successful company, and they're not going bankrupt like 3D Realms.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
Valve is one of the most profitable companies per employee on the planet, more so than Apple, speaking of how much money Apple just had.
So.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, too.
I was just going to point out, people may not be aware of this, but every year Valve takes all of its employees on a vacation, like to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Like all of its whatever, some 250, 300 employees, all of them and their families on vacation.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. How many companies in the world do that?
When I was at Valve Studios, they have catered food every day for all their employees.
Yeah.
On-site therapist.
To elaborate on what
I quit, I'm going to Valve.
Yeah, and massage therapy and whatever. Yeah. To elaborate on what Anthony was saying, the way that Valve works is it's a very, very flat structure. There's not teams, and everybody just works on whatever project they want to work on. You know, you're not hired to fill a specific role necessarily. Maybe you are. You're an environment artist, so you're hired to do environmental art. But you're not assigned to a team. It's like, this Portal 2 is exciting to me, so I want to go work on Portal 2.
You're hired to contribute to the company.
Right.
In whatever way that seems best to you.
And so it's not really... That's why it's not an apples to oranges, or not an apples to apples comparison, because of that reason. You know, it's not like Half-Life Episode 3 or Half-Life 3 has been in development for 5 years. You know, it's more likely that, you know, this is just not a project that's exciting them internally.
Yeah, or they're waiting for the next evolution. That. Or they're waiting for the next evolution of Source to be finished first or something.
Yeah, I just feel like probably their ambitions for Half-Life 3 are grander than what they've been able to pull off so far.
Yeah, and plus it's not like, I mean, like Half-Life 3, obviously people are like clamoring for, so it gets a lot of attention. But think about like Final Fantasy Versus 13 got announced like 6 years ago or something. We've never seen anything. And The Last Guardian, they've been working on for like 7 years. Like, I mean, there are plenty of other games that have these protracted, terrible development
cycles. My guess is that you'll see Half-Life 3 once there's an Xbox 720 and like a PlayStation 4. Like, it'll be those along with the new Valve Source engine, like all coming out at once, like blowing it out.
Well, I mean, it's tough. Like, it's tough, a little bit tough, a little bit awesome to be in their position in the sense that they released Portal 2 and it didn't really, I mean, it sold very well. But compared to how much money that company makes, like Portal 2, they could stop releasing games and just do Steam, and they would probably make more money if they just really focused on
game development. Like, at this point, has to be like it's an aside for them as a business.
Exactly. Yeah, game development is not really the core of how they make their money or the core of that company anymore. And I imagine everything they do is just because that's, you know, because they're enjoying it.
It's easy to forget that they're running Steam and getting, you know, making money off of every game that's sold on Steam.
Yep. Yeah. So. Yeah, so for them, if they have some guy that his job is to manage the spreadsheets, like, why would you push Half-Life 3? Like,
well, Valve has earned our trust at this point. I have no doubt that someday we'll get Half-Life 3, and it will be amazing.
Yeah, and that's the difference between it and Duke Nukem, is that when it comes out, it'll be good.
There you go.
This is Brian Belsick. I'm debating if it's time to get a 3DS. I'm really looking forward to a few of the upcoming 2012 3DS titles, like the new Dragon Quest Monsters 3D, Fire Emblem, and Animal Crossing. The only problem is I've been waiting this whole time for the 3DS 2.0. I don't want to get burned by buying the current model, just to see a new version right around the corner. Do you guys think the coveted 3DS Lite will be out anytime this year, or should I cave and grab the current model?
I don't think it'll come in 2012.
If they're going to announce it, though, and tell you when it's coming, it's going to be at E3 next month. So I would at least wait another month before you decide.
Hold off a month.
I still like my 3DS, and I bet you around the time when E3 happens, if they do announce a Slim, you'll see crazy deals like what there was a while ago. Like, I got my 3DS with Mario for $160, and then there was also, or no, it was a 3DS for $129, and then buy two, get one free on, like, games. So, like, there will be crazy deals.
And like, because they released the Circle Pad Pro, like, they basically future-proofed the system, so even if they add a second analog stick, you'll have, I mean, it obviously won't be as good or as flush, but, like, you'll still have that functionality on the old one, so.
Yeah, I own a 3DS and never bought the Circle Pad Pro yet.
Yeah. I mean, well, because there aren't any games that support it, really. There's, like, two. Yeah. They also, just this week, announced, like, that now there's, going to be day and date, kind of like the Vita has, there will be day and date digital distribution for 3DS games, and also for Wii U games, so, like, 3DS is, like, finally a step in the right direction for Nintendo. And, like, there are great games on it. Like, it took them a while, but there are, like, 4 or 5 really good games.
Yeah, they just need more.
Yeah,
I'm in the exact same boat as that reader. I don't own a 3DS right now, and I want one, but I feel like I'm caught in this no man's land, so.
Are we excited for new Super Mario Bros. 2?
Yeah.
Last new Super Mario Bros. Was great.
Yeah. I mean, the new Super Mario Bros. Games are great. But it's like coming out of Mario 3D Land, which is like incredible. It's like it's hard for me to get excited for like another new Super Mario Brothers game unless there's going to be some real like new elements to it that make it exciting.
Also, the name is some incredible, like it's new ridiculous.
Super Mario Brothers 2.
It's also the third one. Yeah, like there was a DS one and a Wii one, that's and right. Now there's this one.
I actually forgot when I first heard the announcement. I was thinking a sequel to the Wii game, which doesn't interest me. But then I remembered, oh yeah, there was that awesome DS game first.
So that's first the thing. Of all, the DS one was so good, and I spent so much time with it. But like that's the thing. Like going into another one, I don't want it to just be more levels of the same thing. Like I want it to be different and exciting.
I don't know. It's one of those things where like I'm not excited. I'm not like, oh shit, I'm so pumped, but I know like I'm gonna buy it and play it and love it.
Yes, of course.
It would be cool if they adopted mechanics from Super Mario Brothers 2. Yeah. I made it that kind of game.
Exactly.
Or like a 2D Mario Galaxy.
Well, and so in the screenshots they showed, you saw the raccoon tail and stuff. So, like, they really could be incorporating, like, some cool Mario elements into it.
Getting hungry there? It's almost lunchtime.
I'm just fidgeting.
Sorry. He may be hungry, but this morning for breakfast he had a delicious bowl of SF Soup Co. soup. So
actually, I did that because I knew I wasn't going to get to go to lunch.
I can't believe you guys have soup for breakfast. Soup isn't a breakfast.
No, it's
soup
not.
Is an everytime food. Follow SF Soup Co. on
Twitter. I agree that it's an everytime food, but not because I'm a fucking shill. That being said, you should definitely check out Jack's Threads.
Not a fucking shill. But if you happen to be on Jack Threads.
Exactly, that's why I said that.
Just a couple more emails here. This is Ryan. He says, I got my tickets for the midnight showing of The Avengers for me and my brother. But what time should we go to the movie? My brother was thinking around 10:30, but I really don't know since I've never been to a midnight showing before.
Where do
what
you live?
Time will you guys be going?
If you live in New York City, go at like 8:30.
Yeah.
If you live in like a small town, go at 11:30.
Yeah.
10.
Just show up at 10. When are we going to go, Andrew?
We'll probably do like dinner first, right?
Yeah.
So we'll go right after dinner. So let's have like an 8 o'clock dinner and go right after.
Okay. I don't want to like stand around for hours.
No.
That's why you bring your handheld gaming device.
Yes.
Then we're nerds. All three of us are just sitting there playing
or Avengers like, comics and you read them in line.
You're worried about being a nerd at the midnight screening of Avengers?
Yeah, I know.
There'll be people in costume. You don't even have to worry about it.
We wanted to go in costume, but Damon poo pooed it. Greg and I were all into it, and Damon made it
sound
like
Greg would have went as like Green Lantern to an Avengers film.
And been like, what's up? Yeah. I actually get to go see Avengers Monday for work.
What?
I know.
What?
No, it's not for work. It's because of work.
Yeah, Disney invited me.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
Except I don't know. So there's...
You can't bring a plus one.
I can't bring a plus one.
Really?
And Jamie really wants to see it. And so now this is like a, this is like a teachable moment.
You're going to go see it, and then you'll go see it again with your wife.
Yeah, and you'll just tell Jamie, like, man, I'm getting some dinner with the guys. And then you'll just come out and be like, that was the most exciting dinner of all time.
Yeah. It's good she doesn't listen to GameScoop.
This is Adam Groh, or Big Chicken. He says, horror games fascinate me. I've always wanted to play more of them. The problem is that they scare me too much, make my heart race, and kick my active imagination into full terror mode.
Sounds good.
I want to play the newly released Lone Survivor, an indie-developed PC game. You familiar with this?
Yeah.
What are you making that face for?
I'm making that face because it is creepy and it is scary. But it's done in, like, 16-bit graphics.
Yeah, but it's really... Okay, keep going.
And the Silent Hill collection. But I don't want to waste my money on games I won't be able to finish. My question to the Scoop Crew is this. How do you cope with playing horror games that scare you? Is there something I can do to make it more enjoyable, or do I just need to man up? The only horror games I've played are Eternal Darkness and Resident Evil 4.
Wait.
I only got through those by playing them in groups or using guides to warn me of what's going to happen. But I prefer getting through games on my own. Help me, GameScoop. I really want to make it through these games.
I envy you.
Yeah.
That's why I play games like that are scary, like, because I want to feel that.
Oh, yeah. Like, if I'm playing Dead Space, I turn out the lights, and I only play it at night when I'm by myself. Like,
that's the purpose.
I want that experience.
The purpose is to feel scared.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, I've never gotten that scared. I would love to be that scared by a game. I think it would be awesome.
So I'm going to tell you, there's this thing called a thunder shirt.
it's for pets. Do they make a thunder shirt for people?
No, I don't know. No, wrap yourself in a blanket.
They make them for huge pets. So like you can buy like the one for like the 200-pound dog and then just put it on.
No.
That's how you're going to get rich, Anthony. So make the thunder shirt for people.
Yeah, it's just called Under Armour. There's already compression shirts.
Just get a compression shirt. Oh my God, that's actually amazing.
No, basically, I would just tell you, like, try out Lone Survivor. The 16-bit graphics and stuff actually might make it a little bit less visceral for you, like because it's not so intense looking.
Right, and that game's short. Like, you want a game that you can get through. That game's, like, you know, 4 hours long.
The thing is, these other games he described were all on the more realistic side when they came out, and so something like Lone Survivor might
appeal to you a little more. So, Eternal Darkness is... I thought that game was terrible. I don't know why everybody liked it so much. And RE4 is quite a bit more action-oriented, so...
I don't consider Eternal Darkness a survival horror game. Okay. I consider it an adventure game. Okay. Like, to me, I don't know.
Yeah.
A psychological adventure game, maybe.
That's the thing about Eternal Darkness. It's more that it's messing with you psychologically than trying to scare you. You know, it's trying to, like, confuse you or whatever else, but I don't think it's meant to, like, make your heart race and give you a heart attack, right?
Yeah.
He should definitely play Resident Evil Remake.
Yeah.
RE0?
No.
The remake
of GameCube one.
The one for GameCube. Yes. Yeah.
That one.
It's my favorite survival horror game.
That and Dead Space are my favorites.
Yeah, those are very intense.
Absolutely play Dead Space.
A serious answer to this question, and I think about this when I go to horror movies. I like horror games more than movies. You can control it more and pause it if I'm getting freaked out. And in a movie, if I'm starting to get too scared and starting to get too freaked out, what I think about is like the process of them making the movie. Like there's someone holding the camera, and there's crew members like just out of sight. And I think about like how they had to make it and how like that light, someone hung that light there. And I try to keep my head like behind the curtain and think about the process of making it and how it probably took them like 10 takes to get it right. So if you're starting to get freaked out playing a game, you might want to think about like, oh, some artist had to like make the polygons for this creepy monster, and it might help you out.
Yeah, Justin, just describe the process for me watching every movie and why I can't enjoy movies anymore. Because being on movie sets,
because I was an extra. Yeah. Look for me on Gilmore Girls.
Gossip Girl.
Oh, sorry.
I would love to be on Gilmore Girls.
Like, normally, I try to do the opposite, right? You want to just be enveloped.
Be immersed, but in horror movies,
nope.
Yeah. Also, if you have a pet. So, I feel like the only way I was able to sleep after seeing Paranormal Activity is that I had Jackie Brown, and I was like, If there's something happening here, Jackie Brown will freak out. As long as she's cool, then I know everything's fine.
Yeah, because the cats, they would sense it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as long as Jackie Brown's cool, I'm cool.
Say, I've had times in my house, though, where I was like, Pee-Pee, what are you freaking out about? And she's just like staring and like backing up. And I'm just like, no, what's going on?
This is how it happens. So.
Yeah, what if Jackie Brown did freak out?
Well, then I run. I grab her and I run outside the house.
Fuck that. I jump out the window and say, it's all for yourselves. Sorry, PB.
So you saw Paranormal Activity, and then it scared me. You kept Jackie Brown close to feel more secure.
Well, she always sleeps in bed with me, so.
It's okay. Yeah. So and I'm asking this seriously, not as a joke. Would you run out of your apartment if something happened, out of your house if something happened?
If in the middle of the night Jackie Brown reared up and hissed, yes, yes, I would.
Would you like throw some clothes on and then be like, no? Nope.
Well, I don't sleep naked.
Okay.
You just ruined Justin's fantasy.
that's really funny to me.
I have some pretty fashionable sweatpants that I sleep in. Okay. Last question here comes from Yair Donnan of Israel.
Oh yeah, he writes in all the time.
Yeah. He's awesome. He was here for Beyond 200 and stuff too.
Nice. I feel like he was the one that found the Dead Space thing originally. Right?
He was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the possible Dead Space
3.
Yeah.
In the inevitable IGN-based movie, who would you like to play you guys? So obviously, I think Eric Bana would play me in the movie.
Could be a good pick.
Eric Bana from like 10 years ago. Because now he's getting pretty old.
Okay.
I've heard people compare Justin to, Jesse Eisenberg.
I get that a lot.
Yeah, I can see that.
I get that all the time. And I don't know whether it's a compliment or an insult.
I don't think it's either. I think it's an observation.
I've been told I look, sound, and act like him.
Yeah. I can see it. Who would play Anthony?
I don't know.
You don't have an analog that I can think of.
I mean, probably, it could be like, I'm thinking, like, this is a little bit of a stretch, but in the ballpark would be like Jack Black. That's getting into the ballpark.
Yeah.
Like a way toned down Jack
Black.
Yeah,
a skinnier, a little bit shorter Jack Black.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never thought about casting myself in anything.
Andrew's hard, too.
Yeah, I don't know who would play me. As far as Greg, I mean, Greg's not here. Did we say why Greg's not here?
No, he's on vacation.
Andrew would be played by that guy from 30 Rock. It's one of the writers.
Yeah. What?
He's one of the writers.
Not Kenneth?
No, he's one of the writers in 30 Rock. And and he's like the skinny one.
What?
He's very skinny. I don't know. He's one of the writers. He's not Lutz. He's not the black dude. He's like the other dude that's always in there could do the really good Tracy Morgan voice. There was like an episode about how he could impersonate Tracy Morgan.
Oh, the guy who like got kicked off the show in season 4 and they replaced him with Cheyenne Jackson or whatever?
Correct.
Yeah, the guy who's the joke about that character is that no one can remember his name. And the funny thing is that no one can remember his name in real life.
So there you go.
That guy's like twice as tall as me. He's like 11 feet tall.
Whatever, be tall.
They make Tom Cruise look tall in movies.
That's true.
They can make him look short.
I always thought, if you watch Mad Men, the guy who handles their TV stuff... It's like a shorter, less gregarious Greg Miller. But I would like to see that
Greg,
guy play.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say
you.
No, I always thought that guy could probably be trained.
Yeah, those two look exactly alike.
Yeah. He could be trained to play Greg.
Listeners, let us know who should play Anthony in the movie. We need some help getting nailing the right person to play Anthony.
Yeah. Yep. Pick Gael Garcia Bernal and I'll love you. Because I love him. I
don't know who that is.
What about Javier Bardem?
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good. I mean,
he's awesome.
He's awesome.
Resemblance,
he should play Roland in the Dark Tower movie.
Yep. That's a part he was born
to play. Wasn't that the rumor for a long time?
Yeah.
Are they doing like the miniseries movie thing, or did that
get canceled?
I think that failed. I think Ron Howard and whatever the hell is still involved, but Brian Grazer and everyone, but I don't think it's going to be TV anymore.
Yeah. Anyway. Listeners, remember you can always reach us at gamescoop@IGN.com. If you found this podcast through IGN, subscribe to us in iTunes. It'll make your life a whole lot easier. We'll just send the podcast to you automatically each week. But that is all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Justin. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out. Come get up. See where I live. IGN GameScoop.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.